Cessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We are we're in day game mode. The Diamondbacks have a day game today. I'm heading to the ballpark. Guys, you know what it's like when you're at work and you have a day game and you're just kind of sort of, you got one foot out the door. Doesn't mean I'm not going to take this serious. I mean, far be it for me to screw around for an hour or so, but that's what we're going to do today. We have a couple of really good guests. Pedro Gomez will be with us for our weekly segment. Pedro, I am guessing, will not care really about baseball. Pedro is going to the College World Series because his son is on the University of Arizona Wildcats. He is a pitcher for them, if you did not know this. And so every week, Pedro sits there in Bristol and does his thing for ESPN. But all the while, he's been hopping on planes and running around with the U of A, which is cool. So he's at the airport heading off to Omaha for the College World Series. We'll talk with Pedro Gomez. Amin Alhassan, NBA insider with ESPN, he will be with us about 10:35. So this big trade rumor around the Suns that Chad Ford at ESPN put out yesterday had people sending me notes saying, what do you think? And I think they should do this. I think they should do that. Look, we're going to go through that the story there and also things around the finals. Is Bogut going to play or not? The hatred towards LeBron, having Draymond back, who takes more of a hit in these last two games, the team that ends up on the losing end, which, I mean, if LeBron ends up losing, the world will come down on him, or at least part of it. So there's a lot to get to with Amin Alhassan, and he's got an edge to him that I like, and we'll visit with Amin. That is coming up at about 10:35, but Pedro here in about 15 minutes. All right. So let's start. I was at the game last night. I'll get over to that in a minute. But I think the Suns trade, it's not done. It's simply being put out there by Chad Ford. Chad Ford is one of these NBA draft guys, ESPN insider, and he's usually pretty good about stuff. He put a three-way scenario out there, and the more that this series has gone on with Cleveland and the less that we've seen production out of Kevin Love, the more that I've been of the opinion that, you know, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, that Kevin Love, the Suns should revisit him. I was pounding my fist for Kevin Love for a couple of years, and then he just hasn't done much in Cleveland. I'm not quite sure where I come down on all of the moving parts on this, but let me just run this through with you. I wrote about a month ago that Eric Bledsoe, I would trade Eric Bledsoe. I am not a Bledsoe guy. Bledsoe's had a bunch of knee injuries. Eddie Johnson was on with me recently, fully disagreed with me, said, you know what, Brad, he came into the league young, guys have knee injuries, and then they come through it. No, when you have three knee injuries, knee surgeries, most importantly, in my view, you should look at getting rid of that part because you cannot be guaranteed that he is going to be there year in and year out, and the Suns can ill afford, with the draft being next week, to go through this. So the way the deal would work is the Knicks would send Carmelo Anthony and Robin Lopez. It's amazing that Robin Lopez is still bumping around the NBA, but they would send Carmelo and Robin to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers would send Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Mo Williams, Sasha Khan to the Suns. So the Suns would get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. The Suns would send Bledsoe to the Cavaliers. They'd send Brandon Knight, Alex Len, PJ Tucker, Archie Goodwin, and the 4 and the 13th pick to the Knicks. So the Knicks, as you look at this deal and you go all the way through it, the Knicks would say, all right, we've had enough of Carmelo Anthony, and I'm not a Carmelo guy, never have been, never will be. Carmelo gets to go to Cleveland. Bledsoe, who's like the little brother to LeBron, gets to go to Cleveland. The Knicks, Carmelo would be out. They'd have Brandon Knight, assuming he could stay healthy. They'd have Alex Len. Again, these are all players that Jeff Hornacek is familiar with. Okay, so does it make sense on that front when you have a bunch of players, and we did talk about this, that ends up being players that the coach of the Knicks is familiar with? This could be a godsend for the Suns to get out from under some of these players that can't play or that they've given a chance to or they've just made mistakes on. And let's be honest on this. If Brandon Knight is not willing to be in the role of a sixth man, why would you want him here? If Eric Bledsoe has had all these knee surgeries, not if, because he has, why would I want to keep that? Alex Len has been just a nice player. Nice player. Nothing more, nothing less. Moments where he's spectacular, moments where he's MIA. PJ Tucker, haven't been big on him. I mean, energy guys you can find. I don't see where PJ Tucker is the end all of end alls. Archie Goodwin, they've given the chance to, but like a lot of these guys that leave college early, has he hit his ceiling? Like I know there's some guys that really like Archie Goodwin. I'm one of those that, he's probably hit his ceiling. I mean, I see Archie Goodwin and I see Tony Delk. Remember Tony Delk out of Kentucky? I mean, I see a little bit of similarities there. So the Suns would be parting, though, with the 4th and the 13th pick. You're moving, you're getting rid of all the leverage that you have with these draft picks. And you're bringing in guys like Kyrie Irving, nice player. The other night had an amazing night. Now, if every night he was like that, or every fifth night, or every 10th night, would I be more interested in Kyrie Irving? I probably would. Kevin Love. So there's two names in this deal that I think would get fans excited, but from a basketball standpoint, I would be saying, I would not make this deal. Kyrie Irving, to me, is going to come to Phoenix, and if they don't win, he's a guy that is only about winning. And if he's on a team that can't win, shoulders are going to slump, and he's going to be one of those guys that aren't going to be happy. Are Kevin Love's best days behind him? Kevin Love's best days, in my opinion, are behind him. Would I still make a deal to bring Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving here? I would, but I wouldn't part with both 4 and 13. I'd part with 13, obviously, but I'm already giving you Bledsoe, and I'm already giving you Brandon Knight. I'm giving you Alex Lynn. I'm giving you PJ Tucker. I'm giving you Archie Goodwin. I mean, essentially, I'm giving you 6 pieces for one. That's why this deal, to me, doesn't make sense. It's all very one-sided towards the Knicks getting better, LeBron building a dream team, and the Suns getting some guys. And if they get those guys, it doesn't mean that they're going to get this thing turned around. Sure, the average fan would say, oh my gosh, I'm going to go buy my Kevin Love jersey. And he may come here and do well. I'm not opposed to bringing him here, but I think at this price tag, not opposed to either one of these guys, but the price tag to me is too steep. It's too steep. I would not do this deal as it's being laid out there by Chad Ford. Would I find a way to move Bledsoe? Absolutely, I would. Absolutely, I would. All right, so that's on my mind today, and we're going to talk about that further with Amin El-Hassan here in a few minutes, and he may completely blow it out of the water. I was at the Diamondbacks game last night, and I thought in the first couple of innings I might see a no-hitter because Archie Bradley was that good. He was really, really good last night. But, and I don't know if Eric and I were talking before the show on this, I don't know if it's that Chip Hale just can't seem to push the right buttons when it comes to the pitchers. In the last week, we had Pat Corbin talking about being lifted too soon. Then we had Dave Stewart saying the pitchers need to grow up. Then we had Chip Hale leaving Zach Greinke in for 119 pitches. And then we had last night Chip Hale sending Archie Bradley back out to the mound, and it was batting practice. I mean, it really was batting practice. And I don't want to hear this, oh, all the Dodger fans. There was nobody at the ballpark last night. I mean, nobody. If they announced 22, that's not close. There's no way there were 22 there in the house, and it's the Dodgers. It was embarrassing how few people were at the ballpark last night. It just was. I'm going today. It's a 1240 game. They're not going to sell 1240 games out. They're not even going to get 30,000, I wouldn't think, for a 1240 start. I'm excited. It'd be fun to go down to the ballpark and check it out. But you know, the thing about Archie is he takes some steps forward, and then it just fell apart in such a hurry. And what I've noticed, I'm going to talk to Pedro about this, teams are making him work early in games. The whole deal with Archie Bradley is let's get his pitch count up. When he throws, watch how many pitches players take. I mean, he's already north of 20 pitches, and part of that was he was all over the place early. But his stuff was, oh my gosh, it was electric. And he had 9 Ks in 5 innings. But he also gave up 5 earned runs and 3 home runs flying out of the ballpark. And what will be interesting now is Shelby Miller pitched last night. So Shelby Miller went 4 innings in Visalia, for Visalia, I should say. I think they're in Bakersfield. Beautiful Bakersfield for your rehab start. 7 strikeouts last night for Shelby Miller. But today, look, take two of three from the Dodgers and move on, because they've got a long road trip. They go to Philly, Toronto, and Colorado. And they're in Philly for 5 nights.
But that's just what I was going to bring up before the show when I chatted with you. Isn't it funny, Brad, how yesterday at this time it was maybe, just maybe, this team is starting to. Maybe. And then last night's game, a loss. And then today they have to face Clayton Kershaw. So they're going to hit the road, most likely losing this series. It's just, it's hard when you fall behind the pack. It's so hard in baseball to make up ground, because every time you win two, even if the people in front of you only win one, you're only gaining a game. So we talked about the Diamondbacks being, what, 10 and a half back in the West and 7 or 8 back in the wild card. It's just, you don't play well early. It's so hard to get back in it.
But you're making it sound like I shouldn't even go to the game today.
No, I didn't say that. But again, it's just
Kershaw around before. Come on, he's not. What do you think? He's a human. He puts his legs on, right, his trousers on one leg at a time, right?
Have you been watching Kershaw this year?
I know. I'm not expecting much. So it's the way it goes. So, and the U.S. Open starts tomorrow. It's supposed to be 120 this weekend, guys, and it's Father's Day. Like, if you're not getting out of the valley and you need to make plans, it's really simple. I'm going to lay on the couch, and I'm going to watch golf all weekend. I might go work out. I might go work out, but the U.S. Open is going on this weekend, too. All right, Pedro Gomez is next. ESPN Baseball Insider Analyst Pedro Gomez getting ready to go see his son at the College World Series. A weekly visit with Pedro. We'll talk to him about these pitchers wanting to get a home run. Is Brad Ziegler an all-star? And what about Chip Hale sending Archie Bradley back out? Now he's handling the pitchers. That's all with Pedro Gomez next. I'm Brad Sussmat. ESPN Baseball Insider and analyst Pedro Gomez every week, Valley resident. And if you go to his Twitter feed, Pedro Gomez, at Pedro Gomez ESPN, you will see that he is nothing more than a University of Arizona Wildcat cheerleader. There's rightly, I might add, rightly so. A proud dad. Are you at the airport?
I am at the airport. I have to go to Chicago first for a different assignment, and then I'm heading to Omaha tomorrow night so that I can be there for Friday's opening ceremonies.
Are you going to be working at Omaha, or are you going to be a dad?
I'm going to be a dad. I've gotten really lucky. Work has said, just tell us when he's done, and you know, we'll start scheduling you from that point on. But it's been great, and they've been great to allow me to have this time off.
Yeah. So, you know, though, the sideline, whoever's doing sidelines, is going to have to grab you for a piece. They're going to do the story, right?
I would assume, but who knows? I'm not even worried about that. But yeah, I would think that probably. I know that they showed me a few times during the Mississippi State game at Starkville, and thankfully I didn't do anything embarrassing.
Right. There's Pedro hucking an orange at an umpire, or yelling something, or "You stink." I mean, that'd be great. I would love to see that.
Now, I don't think you'll see that from me.
give me the Pedro analysis of U of A's chances to win the College World Series, since you're going to be there.
They're probably, of the eight teams there, they're probably seventh or eighth on the list. But honestly, at the Lafayette Regional, they were probably, I mean, they were a two seed, but Sam Houston State's a really good program, so they were probably 3 out of 4 there. And at Mississippi State, against the number 2 offense and, an overall number 6 seed, they were given very little chance there, and yet they swept Mississippi State. So it's one of those things where it's not who's best, it's who's hottest. And right now Arizona's playing really, really good baseball, and they believe, and that sometimes can put you over the top.
It's fun. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider, is at the airport. All right, there's a lot to get to. Let's go with pitchers in the home run derby. That was a storyline.
Oh, gosh.
Down on this with Bumgarner and Arrieta.
Yeah, and I know in talking to people in front offices, they just wish this story would go away because there is such a huge investment. And Kershaw also has been mentioned as somebody who could participate. I know it sounds great and the fans would absolutely love it, but if you are the general manager of one of these clubs, there is a 0.0 chance. Let's call it Blutarski's GPA. Of any one of these pitchers participating in the Home Run Derby, because the risk of anything happen, a strained oblique, whatever, is just too great. And you know, these are the linchpins of your pitching staff. So you cannot allow one of these guys to participate in the Home Run Derby. 0.0.
All right, let's go from there over to the Diamondbacks. So a week ago, you and I were talking about Archie Bradley getting it figured out. Last night, the Dodgers had him figured out. But I want to go deeper than that. So Patrick Corbin, last start, complained about having to look over his shoulder down to the bullpen. Dave Stewart over the weekend said, our pitchers are the problem. I'm paraphrasing. Last night, Chip Hale leaves Archie Bradley out there, and he gets hammered. What's going on, from your view, with the organization?
This is a situation where I know that Dave Stewart, when he pitched, I covered that 1990 Oakland A's team when Bob Welch won the Cy Young, but Dave Stewart was the number one guy on that pitching staff. 14 complete games to Welch's one. When it came time to the playoffs, Stu was the guy in game one. It wasn't Welch. So Dave Stewart comes from a lineage where a pitcher takes the ball, doesn't complain, and if you need to close out the game by yourself, then that's what you do. And I think that he has gotten to the point where, okay, he's played nice for the first 4 months, when you go back to the start of spring training, the first 4 months or so. But now it's time to, hey, let's go. Let's go. You guys are complaining, then you finish the game. And I think that that's exactly where they're at, where they've probably talked to Chip Hale and said, these guys think that they can do better. Leave them in there. Let's see what they can do. It's kind of like what Nolan Ryan did when he got to the Rangers. And, a lot of the Rangers pitchers at that time were 5, maybe 6 innings and then turn it over. And he immediately changed that mentality and said, no, you guys are going to go 120, 130 pitches. You're going to get deep into the game, maybe the 8th inning, maybe the 9th inning. And sure enough, shortly after he got there, the Rangers made 2 World Series appearances. So I think that Stu has probably reached the point where it's like, okay, enough playing nice. You guys are complaining. You do the job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really surprised by Corbin and what he had to say about that. And then, like you said, from Stewart's end, it was, okay, enough of this. So Greinke stays out there for almost 120 pitches. Were you surprised by that?
No. I know that the 100-pitch mark has kind of become the barometer over the last 15 to 20 years. But really, when you look at it, and in talking to a bunch of pitchers, 120 is a more realistic number, and especially with a 5-man rotation. A 4-man rotation may be a little different, but a 5-man rotation, 120 certainly is enough time, and that's about the point where maybe fatigue starts to set in, and then all of a sudden the risk of injury increases, but not before 120. These guys they've been trained over the last 15 to 20 years that 100 is it, and there's no reason that it can't be 120. The Rangers showed that. Clayton Kershaw shows it every 5 days, that there is no risk in going up to 120. So I know in talking to people, to scouts, they would love to see that 100 pitch limit turn to 120.
Before I let you go, who do you want to tell to shut up, Ichiro or Pete Rose? And actually, Ichiro hasn't said anything. You want to tell Pete Rose to shut up on this?
guys' egos get bruised, and obviously with Pete Rose, there's probably more to it, the backstory, because he's not in the Hall of Fame, because he is on the banned list by Major League Baseball. There's obviously more there to Pete Rose's commentary. And you know what? Let's just enjoy what's going on. It doesn't diminish anything Pete Rose did. There's nothing that's going to take him off of the all-time hit list. This is a combined hit list between Japanese and Major League Baseball. So let's just let it be.
I mean, that story really surprised me, and then it shouldn't. You know, it's like you said, you know, if anything, Ichiro should say, let me give Ichiro a Hit King shirt, and let's take some pictures together, and let's enjoy the moment, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. Try to cash in a little bit on it, which is really what Pete Rose has done since the end of his career, is cash in on his name.
Yeah. Before I let you go, anything else going on that's caught your eye this week?
Yeah, you brought it up, but the home run derby thing for sure. And I think Jose Reyes being designated for assignment today by the Rockies is not really surprising, because the Rockies are almost a 500 team right now. And we're talking over 60 games into the season, so there's less than 100. Walt Weiss has got them believing and playing well. And I think that you can't inject a story like Jose Reyes into that clubhouse and not have it somehow negatively affect what's happening in Colorado. If the Rockies were 20 games under 500, I think you'd see Jose Reyes there and then trying to make a deal. But I think that they're looking at it and saying, we've got something good going on here, and we can't afford to have something so negative put into the storyline. So let's just get rid of him. And, you know, for the Rockies to eat almost $40 million is really, really surprising.
Well, it's like Carl Crawford's contract this week. Eyebrow.
Yeah, but the Dodgers eating that kind of money is not surprising. They you know, they paid for so many players last year. I think it was $85 million they were playing for players that were not on their roster. The Rockies doing that is somewhat surprising. But, hey, they obviously are looking at the bigger picture and saying, let's continue to build on what we're doing here rather than throw in such a negative story into the storyline.
It travels. Go enjoy being a dad. Talk next week. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Brad. Thanks.
See you. There's Pedro Gomez with us. Always good to catch up with Pedro, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. Sports360AZ.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Amin El Hassan on the other side about this mega Suns trade. He's also been following the series with the Cavaliers and Warriors. That's next. Hudson is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. NBA front office insider with ESPN on this trade and everything around the series. So there's a few things going on around this this series that are interesting to me. Craig Sager has been somebody that I've admired in the years that I did the Suns and before and after games. You'd see Craig Sager, and Craig Sager with TNT would come over and be as nice and genuine, and yeah, he had the loud suits, but he was always and has always been involved in everything around the games. And it's great to see Craig Sager in his battle with leukemia coming back, and that ESPN, this is a class move. I mean, it's really to see Craig Sager, that it was announced this morning, and having seen him again through the years, to his fight of leukemia, that he's going to be doing the sidelines for tomorrow night's game. They're going to split it up with Dorsberg. It's terrific. It's very moving, very emotional. And you can see the players when he's doing the interview with some of the players, not all of them, but some of the players. It's really hard, and the coaches are complimentary. And so that story came out this morning, and that's something that's going to be difficult, I think, for some to watch tomorrow. I think it's cool that they're giving him the opportunity. Here's Amin El Hassan now. Always good to have Amin on board, ESPN NBA front office insider, Game 6. What do you see, Craig Sager? Of course, Amin. What do you know about this story? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's an awesome thing, and you know, I just want to clear up. I think people sometimes think that there's a competition or a rivalry between the Turner Sports guys and us. There's no competition. We never broadcast games at the same time. We are in fact partners, and so even with beyond that kind of corporate speak over there, all of us who cover the game, we see each other all the time. And, you know, we have great love and affection for Craig and appreciation for everything he's done as a journalist covering the game of basketball. You know, he's an icon.
Yep.
And so it's a really cool move on ESPN's part to do this. But beyond that, I think it's just really cool in general for Craig, a guy who's synonymous with NBA basketball, I didn't know he'd never covered a final.
Yeah, I just
never, I never knew that. And,
yeah,
and so for this to happen, I think it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's the right move too, I think, with what he's been going through. It's let's do
Absolutely.
This. All right, so you know where I'm going to go with this trade stuff that came out yesterday with the Suns and the Cavaliers and the Knicks. Have you seen this? Can you make any sense of this, of Bledsoe and Kyrie and Carmelo? It's been put out there by Chad Ford. What do you think of this?
Oh, man, it only took us until mid-June for the crazy trade proposals to start coming out. It's the latest it's ever happened. Usually it starts like in May where people start playing with the trade machine. That just sounds too fantastic to believe. There's just too many big name players, too many moving parts for this to be palatable. But there are certain parts of it that make sense in the sense that Bledsoe going to Cleveland, he's represented by Clutch Sports. It's Rich Paul, who's the same agency and agent, who of course represents LeBron James, who of course owns a little ownership stake in said agency. So that part makes sense. The part where I guess Carmelo Anthony goes to Cleveland to me makes less sense because everything I've heard is that Carmelo doesn't want to leave New York and that his sights are set on something greater than his playing career. He's thinking of his post playing career and he believes New York is the place to build the foundation for that. And then, you know, I guess for the Knicks, that's a pretty good haul for them. If you look at it, you get two top 15 picks and some productive players and some young players there and all that for a guy who pretty much is on the downswing of his career and has chronic knee issues. Yeah, if you're a Knicks fan, that sounds great, but it's just too fantastic. I'm telling you, there's just way too many moving parts there to believe that this could happen. And then the other part of it also is Cleveland's really getting the short end of a stick here.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up two all-star players pretty much. I know Kyrie was one this year and Kevin Love last year, but they're two all-star caliber players for a guy who's on the downswing of his career and needs the ball in his hands all the time. I don't know how that makes it better, but, you know, it sounds like something that someone dreamt of and kind of filled in the blanks. And, you know, the Cavs would love Carmelo. Like, that kind of thing. You know, without paying respect to Kyrie's 22 or 23, Kevin Love is 25 or 26, and Carmelo's older than LeBron is.
Talk about the mean Neil Hassan. Okay, so let's talk about this from the Suns end. Bledsoe's had three knee surgeries, right? And I've Eddie Johnson and I went back and forth on this last week about, well, from his view, Bledsoe is just coming into his own. He came out early. Bodies have to mature. He's going to be just fine. I can't roll the dice out here in Phoenix because I've seen a lot of bad basketball, I mean, for the last 6 years, having a lot of money tied up in a guy with three knees. So I'm okay with this. Getting Kyrie and Kevin Love here, am I getting Kevin Love on the backside of his career? I don't know that. I don't know what to make out of Kevin Love. And is Kyrie going to come to a situation where the Suns, when they're not good, because they're still trying to figure it out here. After you left, they went to the dumper. Okay, let's be honest. But you throw the pieces that come to Phoenix, and I look at it and say, is this really an equitable, palatable deal on the surface? Oh yeah, Kyrie and Kevin Love. But really, let's peel the onion back a little bit on this.
Well, I mean, first of all, Kevin Love is still a great player. He's just being asked to play a role that is difficult for him because the guy needs the ball in his hands, and if he doesn't have the ball, if he's not making impact offensively, and that's kind of like the extent of who he is. He's not going to really dominate defensively and obviously everything else, playmaking-wise, would require him to have the ball in his hands, and he can't. He's a great rebounder, but he's asked to not crash boards because, you know, that they don't want to gum up the paint. So it's kind of like they're asking him to do very specific parts of his game and to abandon everything else. And in that context, now all of a sudden everyone thinks he can't play basketball anymore, which is kind of silly. Kyrie Irving, spectacular player to watch. I'm sure he'll make a lot of jerseys and he'll get people excited about Suns basketball. But, you know, if you look at the Cavs record when LeBron doesn't play, there's no evidence that Kyrie has figured out how to play winning basketball. And even here in the finals, the good games he's having, you know, I had a tweet the other night. I said the path of damnation is paved with Kyrie ISOs because he can get his. Yes, we all know he's a great individual scorer, but it's at the detriment of involving anybody else. Everyone else is just watching. And I think there's more to the game than that in general, and especially if you're a point guard, there's definitely more to the game than that. You have to keep people happy, and nobody's happy watching a dude go through his and-one mixtape, even if he ends up scoring at the end, because it's just not inclusive enough of a style of play.
Okay, so hearing you speak, I tend to agree with you. We're in the time of your crazy trade rumors, and you can put some pieces together. But on the surface, does this make sense for the Suns?
It does, because it gives them at least two bona fide all-star players. Still one in the prime of his career, one entering the prime of his career. And I think those two players are better than anybody the Suns would be giving up. Better than Bledsoe, better than Brandon Knight or Alex Len or P.J. Tucker, and probably going to be better than either of those picks, right? Definitely better than the 13 pick and most probably better than that 4 pick as well. And from that standpoint, in terms of giving up talent and getting more talent back, that deal would achieve that. But again, I mean, we're spinning our wheels here. It's not going to happen.
I mean, it's been 6 years of this garbage out here. It's been six. It's nonsense.
There's a trail, Brad. The paper trail. There's a money trail. And it goes, in the words of every single cliched movie, it goes all the way to the top.
Yeah. I know. Assuming they keep 4-13, what makes sense to you next week for Phoenix?
Oof. It's tough because one of the names that I really like a lot is, of course, another guard. And that's the problem is Suns are all in on the same position, so it's tough. I guess I love Jamal Murray, but I guess if Dragan Bender's on the board at 4, then you have to take a look at him there. And then at 13, it gets a little bit more difficult because now you're talking about, again, this draft is weird. It's kind of like it's not as clearly tiered after you get off to the first 2 or 3. And so a guy who might go 13 could also go 25. And you never know. It's a name that I like a lot, not because he's flashy, not because I think he's going to be a perennial all-star, but I think he's just a guy who's going to help you win games. It's Denzel Valentine from Michigan State. But is 13 too high? Is that too much of a reach? Probably. But again, you know, if we look back in history, look at guys like Todd Gibson and Draymond Green. And you know, there's a long list of these players who, coming out of college, Jimmy Butler, people are like, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. He'll be a solid guy. He'll help you win games. But you don't take a guy like that lottery. And then, you know, fast forward a few years later, and these guys are great players and guys that went ahead of them who had perhaps higher ceilings projected on draft day. They didn't really pan out.
Yeah, fans want Thon Maker out here somewhere in this draft. Fans really want Thon.
Oh, man.
That's who they
– I like Thon. He's got some – he's definitely a ball of clay, but, you know, you're going to have to be patient. He's not going to come in here and dominate. You know, people are thinking Kevin Durant, he might be Perry Jones III, right, in terms of a long, athletic kind of wing player. And really, Perry Jones is a better comparison because Kevin Durant was long and skinny, but he was so skilled right out the box, right? Kind of like Brandon Ingram out of Duke. He's skilled right now. He's really skinny, whereas Perry Jones, Thon Maker, they're long, they're skinny, they move in ways on the perimeter that most big guys don't move, the guys that size, but at the same time, the skill level isn't there, right? They look like they can do that stuff, but they can't do it efficiently, and they can't do it consistently. And so when you're talking about that, this is not to kill the kid's draft stock, but you take a guy like that, you have to understand, he's not ready right now, and he's going to have to put in a lot of work to get ready.
Before I let you go, what happens in this series? How does it finish out from your view?
I think tomorrow night's the last night. I think, you know, Cleveland got their pride win in game 3, and they got their Draymond isn't playing win on game 5. And now Draymond's back. And even though Bogut's out, you know, I've been pleading for the Warriors to stop pretending like they have to play a big guy all the time. Go ahead, go to the small lineup and run them out the gym, especially as they're playing small lineups against you. And so with Draymond Green available, I expect the Warriors to close this thing out. And then I get a weekend before I have to go to Bristol to do draft coverage.
Yeah, and you'll be getting after it. Appreciate your time and insight as always, Amin. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Brett.
See ya. It was Amin El-Hassan. It's good stuff all the way around. yeah, this deal, it's one of those you have to talk about, but you look at it and you say, it's not happening, but you have to at least go through it because you never know what parts to it could. And I would move Bledsoe. I would. I've written it. I stuck by it. I put it out there a month ago. I'd move him. That's the guy. It stinks that you go through these last 6 years with no progress and you have to go to a point of this. It was interesting, his view on Kevin Love, that, you know, that maybe I buried him too soon. So, and I was the guy waving the flag 2 years ago to go get him. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content up on our website that you can check out. Pro, college, high school, college, pro, makes no difference to us. We consider ourselves the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your day.